Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The football world has arrived in Titletown, USA. Broadcasting live from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay, Wisconsin Sports Daily with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, served up by Wendy's.
How are y'all doing? Welcome in. We are broadcasting live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, out here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida Street, just mere steps from Lambeau Field. And I'm telling you, if you have not heard, they have got one heck of a special going on out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, I know, because Jacob Westendorf and I from Packer Report, who is here with us, we talked earlier about wings and how he could take advantage of any type of wing special. Paul Brettle from ESPN Lacrosse Packers beat writer is here. Tell me what you could do with this. All you can eat boneless and traditional wings for $19.99 with fries. Traditional wings are $5 more Monday through Thursday. Dine in only. $19.99. How many boneless wings do you think you could put down for $20?
That's a great question, one I haven't thought about, but I imagine I would do my best to take advantage of the great deal that is.
I ate 10 today and I was full. So it doesn't work for me. It's like these all-you-can-eat buffets. It's a waste of money. $40. I'm not eating $40. I used to go to Vegas. There was a seafood...
$100.
There was a seafood buffet in the Rio. Well, it's been a while since I've been to Vegas. But back then, it was $54.99.
Yeah.
My buddy used to eat mounds of crab legs. I would have a small plate of food for $55. I'm like, I'm losing money. This is not... All-you-can-eat buffets, the reason they exist is because they take advantage of us small people and those other people that can eat their weight. It balances itself out at the end of the day, Jacob.
It could. I can tell you one other thing. For $54.99, I would pay for Brettle's Smokehouse for his wings. If you have not had those... Paul Brettle's Smoker is the best restaurant in the great state of Wisconsin.
What kind of smoker does Paul Brettle have?
It's honestly just a little cheap one. I think it's a master build. I got it as a Christmas gift a while ago, maybe 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
I think it's like $250.
All right.
But over the years, I've just gotten really good at it.
Really good at it.
Well, I let my guests do the talking for me in that regard. But I do enjoy hosting. So when Jacob's in town or any other individuals,
right.
I like to grill out. I like to do the smoker.
Nice.
I like to do all that. Yeah.
Look at that.
Whole family, like my parents, my wife, everything. He hosted all of us, and they still talk about it. So
you hosted the whole family?
Yes.
Did you charge to get in?
I did not. No.
You should.
Wow.
I'm going to start maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, there was only... Well, there was
a fee to park, a fee at the door, and then we're going to charge you per plate.
Yes, per plate. Right, exactly right.
Yeah, we were one short at the time. I think my son wasn't born yet, but my daughter was. And yeah, so it was my three and then my parents, so my brother, I think, came too. So there was like six of us.
And they loved it.
Loved it. Still talk about it. Like, I'm not making that up.
That's amazing.
I'm flattered.
That's good. That is good. See, you know what the difference between you all and me is? I always talk about the bad things all the time. I never really talk about the good things nearly as much. I still complain about that stupid Jordan Morgan pick last year. when they should have moved up the Packers and taken a corner when they had every opportunity to do so. And instead, they sat there and watched two great corners go in front of them. I didn't want DeJean, so I'm not going to sit here and revisionist history and say, oh, I wanted DeJean. I didn't. Because, as I said before, and I'll say it again, how many great white corners have there been in the NFL in 30 years?
That one's pretty good.
But Seahorn, he went all that great by the end. And that's it. There was nobody else. So with all due respect to DeJean, I was like, well, if he plays safety, all right, I'll listen. But I'm not really sold that he's going to be that guy at corner. We talked about this earlier as far as, okay, if, you know, Cam Ward was in the draft last year, where does he go in the draft at for quarterbacks? Now let's play this game with cornerback. If Will Johnson or Jahdae Barron are in last year's draft, are they first-round picks?
Yes. Well, with Will Johnson, the medical concerns are a thing. If you take, if you tell me Will Johnson has a clean bill of health, he's a first-round pick. If you tell me he doesn't, which it sounds like maybe he doesn't, he may not be a first-round pick tonight.
This year.
And something that really sticks out about Johnson to me is at the NFL Combine, Brian Gutekunst was talking about the cornerback position. He talked about the emphasis that they want to have when they're evaluating the cornerbacks in this year's draft on their vision because of how well that fits with what Jeff Hafley wants to do. You look at Will Johnson, his ball production during his career at Michigan, from that, the size standpoint. I mean, on tape, you can see the athleticism that's there. I know the testing numbers aren't there. But he checks a lot of the boxes that we know the Packers look for.
Tape says first round pick. Yes.
Can we have a conversation? Because I saw all hell was breaking loose on Twitter about Maxwell Harrison and the pick by Daniel Jeremiah. I said this before. With all due respect to your mock drafts and everybody else's mock drafts, the only one that means a ton is Jeremiah because he's the one that's normally the most accurate, I feel like, of everybody. So Harrison gets to that pick. The Packers make it. I would not take him over Jahdae Barron at any point in my life. Having said that, everybody came under fire, some more than others, Jacob Westendorf, about not liking that pick. You tell me your thoughts on Maxwell Harrison if the Packers were to take him at 23.
Yeah, so he played at 183. Well, he said he played at 190. I don't. Not that anyone would ever lie, but I don't know that he's telling the full truth when he played at 190.
Really?
Is what he's saying. So 183 is the number. That's really skinny for what they
I think it was 179 at the Senior Bowl.
That's incredible. So a really real thin corner, and he's a bad tackler. Like, and that's something that there's no debating on that.
Right.
You know, you could debate what weight he was, but at as a bad tackler in Jeff Hafley's system, I think it was somebody from Acme Packing was talking about how they've already got a skinny corner who can't tackle, and his name's Carrington Valentine.
I don't know that they
need to add another one there. I would be surprised if they took a player like, because in the first round they have, we don't always know, but they kind of have a type, right? And they've run through those types of players. They've never taken a player in the first round that you've been surprised maybe at the position. Hi, Jordan Love. Nice to see you. Or maybe like what they've done and as far as who it was instead of what it was. Hi, Jordan Morgan. But they've never done something that's just like, whoa, this is not their type at, like, Quay Walker was surprising because he was a linebacker, but he was a freakazoid athlete, everything
right.
like that. Harrison doesn't quite check the boxes quite like that. I would be surprised if they took him tonight. If you told me tomorrow he's sitting on the clock at 53, yeah, that I could certainly see them doing because they've been prone to doing different stuff in the second. The later the draft goes, the more they go less typey, if
yep.
you will, and have more risk involved.
And I'm not saying that this is right or should be how the Packers think about it, but I think they're a lot higher on that current cornerback room, even
yes.
if you take Jair out of the equation,
yes.
than what the outside world is. And when you add Nate Hobbs to the mix and you have Bullard in the slot, if Hobbs is on the boundary, and then you have Nixon and Valentine battling for one of the other starting boundary spots. Again, not saying right or wrong or that's how they should approach it. They're going to add depth to that room for sure at some point. But I think they're a lot higher on that unit than what others are.
So wait, hold on a second. I don't disagree with you, Paul Breitel. I don't disagree with you. But if we don't think they're going wide receiver in round one, because there's so many wide receivers, you can take one, round two, round three. If we don't think they're going corner in round one because they think Keyshawn Nixon can play and because they love Hobbs more than I like Hobbs, and they like Hobbs and what they have, to me that all makes sense. But now we're narrowing the pool of potential picks that they could go. So now we're at edge rusher, we're at defensive tackle, and the outlier, because I want to make it one, is offensive tackle, right? I'm not missing anything else, right? I mean, Jahad Campbell, he's falling because of injury concerns too. He's a linebacker. They're not taking Jahad Campbell if he's there, are they?
I would think not, no.
We both agree. Okay, so all three of us agree. Yeah. So you take linebacker out of it from that perspective. They're not going Malachi Starks or a safety, right?
Unless they view him as a slot corner.
Which they got Javon Bullard who's trying to play that.
Yeah,
right?
But what?
Then you have Nixon, you have Hodge. I feel like they have enough interchangeability. They need a boundary guy. Right? Yep.
Can Barron play the boundary?
That's a good question. He could in college. The length of his arms, and you can scoff at that, but NFL teams do care about that. That is something that is a concern. I don't know. I couldn't figure out from anybody if it was a concern in Green Bay, but he did play it in college. He'd be, in my opinion, their best slot corner today. He'd be one of their better boundary corners today, and he could be Xavier McKinney's backup if, God forbid, X had to miss a game or two because of an injury. He could be their backup at free safety.
That's a Swiss Army knife. That's
and a real one, not like there's a difference between. I was joking about this with my Oreo overlord, as I like to call him. But one of my friends is. We always talk about how, like in baseball, they say this guy's got versatility. It's like, well, there's a difference between guy can play second, short, and third, and a guy who can stand there with his glove on at second, short, and third. Like
right.
There is a difference between those things. Bullard or Barron can line up at all those places and play them, I think, well, versus Javon Bullard, who can play safety and slot. It's one season. I'm not ending his career. Are we sure he's good at either one of those things right now?
I feel better with him covering the slot than I do with covering with him playing safety. So when he played safety, he was really not good. I felt like when he played the slot, Paul Bradle, he was serviceable at least.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely was better there. And I think part of Bullard at the safety that we have to be mindful of is a lot of those instances, he was thrown in during the middle of a game because an injury occurred.
Right.
During the week of practice, there's limited time, there's limited reps. He's only getting nickel reps during the week. So for most players, that's a big transition in the middle of the game, let alone a rookie. So I agree, he was absolutely better at the nickel. But when it comes to the safety, I'm willing to give him a little bit of grace there. And just generally speaking about the secondary as a whole, the versatility element that's within that group right now, I think, is going to have to be the catalyst towards what raises that group's level of play. Because you have McKinney who can do everything.
Yep.
You have Bullard slot safety. Nixon Hobbs can play inside and out. And when we look at Jeff Hafley putting together his game plans on a week-to-week basis, that's a real advantage for him because he can really be dialed into, all right, what does the opponent do well? How do we want to take it away? Who are we going to have do that? And then what are we going to do to disguise our coverages? So I think that versatility element, one, if you're looking at cornerback safeties in the draft, be mindful of that. But I think that element's going to be really important to raising the level of play for this group as a whole this year.
The more we talk about this, more confident I feel in an offensive lineman. I'm just saying. Like, because defensive lineman, like I said, that kid, who is it? Deion Walker, whatever his name is, the defensive lineman from Kentucky, the gigantic kid. Okay, he's like a mountain of a man. He's like 6'7", 350, 360, whatever he is. Now, is he going to play all four downs? No. He's going to come in and play first down, maybe have to try his big butt off or whatever. But if you're just talking about a run stuffer type guy, he's going to be hard to move with a point of attack. He's going to fall at least in the third round.
Do they want a guy like that, though? I don't know.
Well,
like they didn't try to re-sign TJ Slayton at all. Everyone else in that room looks like Devontae White. Like, I think if you do their quote-unquote prototype of defensive tackle, it looks like Devontae Wyatt.
When are you going to stop the run? You need big guys to stop the run. Look at what Philadelphia did. You need at least one mountain of a man to help with the run, don't you?
You would think, but maybe they feel like – I mean, one of the reasons they stopped the run better – Slayton was a big part of that, no question.
And he's gone.
But they were better – like Rashawn Gary, for all the flack he gets for not sacking the quarterback as much as we'd like him to – last year was probably his best year defending the run since his last season at Michigan.
That's good.
Like, that has been a big thing. Lucas Van Ness, again, for all the flack, pretty good run defender. So I think that it's kind of across the board. And then Edrin Cooper being an absolute stud also helps in that regard as well. Quay Walker, kind of a bummer that he hurt his ankle the way that he did because
he was
really,
really well.
Yes, those two games, one of my favorite stories I wrote last year was after the Chicago game, everybody had just kind of been like, okay, Quay stinks, he's done, it's over, whatever. And then he beats up San Francisco and Miami back-to-back before blowing up his ankle in Seattle. and then he came back for one game against Philly before the season was over.
Yeah, I still remember after that game, that week leading up to the next one, after the Bears game where he struggled, Jeff Halfley talked about how his demeanor was completely different that week, just how dialed in he was. It was almost like he took his performance in that Bears game as you'd want. He took it personally.
And something about Quay, too, like you said with Halfley, LaFleur, Gutekunst, Campanile when he was here, Xavier McKinney, Isaiah McDuffie, like these players, both when asked and when not asked, say this guy's a player. So I know that the outside world maybe, like we were talking about the cornerback room earlier, the outside world may not think he's that great. I can tell you, inside that locker room, they think that kid is special, and this could be a huge year for him.
So he's Jacob West, North Packer Report. Paul Brattle, a Packer beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse. He's Sparky Fiber with you. Scott's the Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. The Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. If the Bucks happen to win, coming up tomorrow night, you within 24 hours, get yourself to Wendy's. Get yourself a free small Frosty at Wendy's within 24 hours at participating Wisconsin Wendy's. We're broadcasting out here in Green Bay, the epicenter of where everybody is right now, because the draft is mere steps away from where we are at Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida Street. I want to go back to Quay Walker, Paul Brattle. So those 2 weeks you two were talking about were really, really good. Athletically, I don't think he's Cooper, but he's really good either way, right? So with Quay Walker, what's his ceiling? Now that we saw those 2 weeks, and we think Jeff Halfley unlocked him, it took him a little while, but we think he unlocked him. What is his ceiling now?
I think it's what we saw over that three-week span. It's just the consistency of it and that becoming more the norm for him. And him taking on that Mike linebacker role, I still remember early on in the season, Xavier McKinney said during his time with the Giants, there were a few weeks where he had to step into the Mike linebacker role. He goes, it's no joke having to do everything that comes with that position pre-snap. So there was a learning curve that Quay was going through, not just in being in a new defensive scheme, but now the added responsibilities that were on his shoulder. So I think just the added comfort of being in Halfley's system, not only knowing his responsibility, but the responsibility of everyone around him, that there's less thinking. Because when you're thinking less, what are you doing? You're just playing, you're reacting, and that's what he was doing over that three-week stretch. And again, he was playing at a really high level. Stats are stats, but compared to linebackers around the NFL, in the run game, in the passing game, he was among the best during that three-week stretch. So what's his ceiling? It's that. It's going out and doing that on a regular basis because he's shown us he can do it.
Okay, but is the ceiling Pro Bowl? Is the ceiling Pro Bowl, Jacob Westendorf?
Yeah, I think that's more than fair, especially like those. It's two games. Like, I do want to
stress
that.
Well, they've got to pick up an option or possibly extend to multiple years, him and Wyatt. Goody already said, we're doing something.
Yep.
Yeah, we're not going to say what, but we're going to try and do something. And that was the debate we're having the other day on the show is, are they worth doing more than picking up the last year of their deal, that fifth-year option, to extend them 3 years or something like that?
Yeah, if you give them like a, I don't want to call it a fake contract, but something where it's like he's got to earn that second year and that third year to come through here, I think they'll do something like that. Kind of like the first Jordan Love extension,
sure,
where they like, hey, we'll give you a couple bucks and that'll get you some of that longer term secure. That doesn't make you a lame duck player, basically, because that salary is fully guaranteed, and those are some pretty big salaries for those two players. I hope what it means is, one, you find Walker's consistency, and two, with Wyatt, if you're going to be paying him like that, he's got to play more. You know,
yes.
Wyatt being a 38-42% of snaps player. Next year's got to be a year where Green Bay lines up in their base defense on the first play of the game, first play of the season, and Devontae Wyatt is right next to Kenny Clark. That's the way that has to be. But with Walker, to answer your question, yeah, I think the ceiling is the Pro Bowl, and you've seen the high-end flashes. Like, we saw the pick six against Chicago, and we were all like, oh, man, the takeoff is going to be real this year. And then it wasn't. You know, and he's been in position to make plays. There's a dropped interception that sticks out in my head where I think it was against New Orleans, and my soul, I feel like, left my body because I saw the ball in his hands. And you can always tell when it's a linebacker when they drop the interceptions, too, because the DBs, their hands just go on their head.
Yep.
Like, if it was me, I'd have caught it, right?
Yep.
But they didn't. Walker hasn't. I think the ceiling, to quote Michael Jordan with him, is the roof. Like, it's maybe not the limitless potential that he had when they thought they were getting when they drafted him, but him and Edgerrin Cooper, I don't want to put Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman or something like that on those guys, but those two together, I think, what, McKinney told somebody this offseason, that's the best linebacker in football. Like, I mean, that's, granted, that could be kind of gassing up his own guy, but still, not words you take lightly, not something you say lightly as somebody who, McKinney's played with Walker for one season. This isn't some guy that he's friends with and they came in the league together or anything like that either. So there's something, and I think there's more there. And like I said, I'm excited for him. this season as we get to that point, probably why they're not going to be looking linebacker high, because then you're thinking they replace him.
This is the thing. We're going to take a quick timeout. Come back on the other side. Paul Bredel, you're good?
Yeah.
You're good, right? You don't have to leave until, what, 4,
I'm
you
good,
said?
Yeah.
All right, good. Coming up on the other side, I want to explore Brian Gutekunst, general manager, drafter, because he gets a lot of flack from a lot of people over his draft picks, what he's done well, what he hasn't done well, so forth. I want to dive into that. Coming up next, it's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's as we broadcast live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We are mere steps away from the Lambeau Field, where the draft will be going on tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay on Oneida Street. If you missed it this morning, Andy Herman, the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, was here this morning, 8 to 9. He's back tomorrow. Mason Crosby and Mitch Thundernell is doing their show this morning, 9 to 11. Nick Barnett, Darren College, and others were on the show this morning. Tomorrow, Jordy Nelson will be joining Mason Crosby at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, and a host of others tomorrow morning, too. That's 9 to 11. Tomorrow, I will be at the Potawatomi Sportsbook doing my afternoon show from 2 to 5, and then Mason Crosby will get in a car, drive back to Milwaukee, where we'll host an event tomorrow night at the Sportsbook. We'll have the playoff game going on, the draft going on. We'll have the baseball game going on, Q&A with Mason Crosby and commercial breaks, trivia, autograph cards will be given away to winners of the trivia. Come on down, hang out with us at the Sportsbook tomorrow night at Potawatomi. Quick timeout, come back on the other side. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Sparky here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. We broadcast live, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, part of the Pine Wildman Sportsbook. I just saw the Buffalo Wild Wings mascot walking past the tent, hanging out. I think it's a party out here, man. They got Bud Light beer and seltzers on sale. They got Crown Royal, like, royal chair that you can take pictures in. And the whole deal going on out here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida. Just steps away from Lambeau Field as everybody gets ready for the draft coming up tonight. I was over there earlier. It was busy already earlier. And they got a lot of cool things over there. Lambeau Field is open. The concessions are open. You can go hang out inside. A lot of the network TV shows are being done from on the field inside Lambeau Field. So it's going to be a spectacle for sure later tonight under the lights. Sparky here. He is Jacob Westendorf, Packer Report, along with our guy over here, Paul Breidel from ESPN Lacrosse, Packers beat writer. I got to say, thank you so much, my guy Jacob Westendorf here, because all those little draft prospect previews we've been running on the air, brought to you by Seam Feeders Local 601, and all the ones you'll hear tonight on the remake draft football show with our guy Charlie Usen and Tommy Wirtz, all of those, all the strengths, weaknesses, all the information comes for your guys' draft guide. How can people get a hold of that? Because you can get it sent right to you, and you can have it tonight when the draft starts.
Yeah, and you're going to want that, especially, like, there's one guy tonight. There's eight more, maybe 9, 10, 11 throughout the course of the weekend here. So it's, what, it's 225 profiles. If you go to Packer Report 66 on social media, Twitter, X, they pin tweet there for $11.99. You can have access to that. Read all the stuff that Sparky's been telling you for the last week, 2 weeks or so. Grab everything. We'll tell you who some Packers people are, some high potential fits. There's features in there talking about roster building, Brian Gutekunst, the job he's done. I talked about whether or not Green Bay's falling behind in the division and everything like that that's happening. Chicago going to be a big point of focus tonight, especially with that 10th overall pick and all the stuff they've been able to do the last couple of years. There's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of people you're going to want to learn. And what you can do is it comes right to your phone. So if you're here enjoying the festivities and everything like that, and they take Emeka Buka in the first round tonight from Ohio State, you could scroll right to receivers and find him and say, here's his strengths, here's his weaknesses, go to the bottom, how much of a fit is he with Green Bay?
And you have player comps.
We have Jacob Morley does the player comps for receivers because that's the only position that he cares about. So
that's true.
I should have let him do that.
That is true. I love Jacob Morley, but that is true. You want to know the crazy thing, Paul Breidel? So Charlie and Tommy are doing the draft show tonight. Mm-hmm. So I said, all right, boys, well, I got to make sure you guys are all prepared for this. So I had already bought his thing because it was discounted early on in the offseason.
Yep.
So right away. I bought it right away as soon as I could get it. So then I had it. So I said, all right, we're doing this draft show. So I was like, I'm going to help you all out. I'm going to print out the draft guide for you. Man, it's like 297 pages, man. It's almost 300 pages.
It's hefty, but my favorite part about it is the fits specific to the Packers.
Yes.
Because it's not just, oh, they need a wide receiver. Who's the best player up there? It's, well, they have height size thresholds. There's the 40 times that they use as metrics. So it's all about those other elements as well that go into to who truly is on the Packers' radar, and the draft guide helps you figure that out.
This was the most challenging year for that, too, because more and more players are opting out of doing that stuff for one reason or another.
Because they know they're getting burned by it.
I don't know how much upside there is.
Think about this. Bucky Irving, if you take out his RAS score, his relative athletic score, which was like under 3 last year, you know, where is he on everybody's draft boards going into that draft if that doesn't exist? If he didn't test, where does he rank, I wonder? Does he get drafted higher?
I thought something interesting Brian Gutekunst said on Monday is if players opt out of that stuff, he goes, we have to work a little harder, but we still get that information. He talked about, especially at the Power 5 level, all those schools, the football players in their pads have GPS tracking so they can figure out what their 40 times are, those other metrics that they utilize. So teams are still getting that information. And one thing Brian Gutekunst also mentioned was he likes when players go out there and do the drills. He says it's something about just your competitiveness and willing to just go out there and do an event because it's part of what's required.
Give me a strength you think that Brian Gutekunst has as general manager, as a drafter, as a drafting GM, what's a strength that he does well in the draft?
For me, I think it's not a sexy thing, but I think it's his willingness or ability to stick to what the Packers' process is and their board. And again, that can lead to some maybe underwhelming selections at times, but I don't see him as being someone who's reactionary and beats. Okay, we have to get this position. This player is available. Let's move up. Let's reach a little bit because we need a wide receiver.
Right.
They do a very good job of sticking to the board. And when you do the opposite of that, when you start to reach, when you start to address positions because you feel like you have to, that's when you get in trouble in the draft, when you're reaching and you're drafting players ahead of where they should. So I think his patience, his willingness to say, we've put in months and months, and the scouts have put in years worth of work to evaluate these prospects. Let's stick to that rather than in the moment, oh, no, I need a wide receiver. What do I do? That's when teams get burned.
So that's the strength, according to Paul Bredel, the ESPN Lacrosse. What say you, Jacob Westendorfer, Packer Report?
Oh, I will go position specific. I will say this dates back to the offensive lineman when he drafted, or he was a big part of drafting David Bakhtiari, yep. Who, that's the best lineman Green Bay's drafted.
Not a first-round pick.
Not, no. And he's done really well with that group kind of in general. He's drafted Zach Tom, obviously, and one of his first picks was Elgton Jenkins. Green Bay's entire offensive line currently, except for Aaron Banks, is somebody he's drafted. Obviously, he had the miss with Josh Myers. That's unfortunate that it worked the way that it did, but for the most part, he's done really well there. Until last year, and that's just kind of part of the deal, the attrition and everything like that, that room has always been really well-stocked to the point where you feel like, hey, we're one rolled ankle. There aren't many teams, if any, that could withstand their Hall of Fame left tackle getting injured on New Year's Eve of whatever year, that 2020, and be able to just kind of move on. I mean, they really were. They were 5 points away from playing in the Super Bowl that year. They were really good the following year. There aren't a lot of teams.
They may have went to the Super Bowl had he been healthy.
I'm of the belief they would have won back-to-back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never obviously be able to prove that, but they couldn't block Tampa Bay that day.
Correct.
Famously. They would have been able if David had been able to play. Unfortunately, he couldn't. But that's kind of Gutekunst's thing, though. They had Jenkins, who could slide over, and then Rasheed Walker, who they found in the seventh round. I don't think Rasheed Walker's a great player, but how many serviceable offensive linemen, above average even, if you want to call Walker that?
How many left tackles in NFL history were seventh-round picks?
Probably not many.
Starting left tackles that were seventh-round. I would somebody find me that stat.
And when you're wondering why the Packers draft another offensive lineman, there's this stats from last year of the most played offensive line combinations on each team last year. Less than half of the league had more than 50% of their most starting offensive line unit on the field.
Injuries, less than half.
Less than half. And that's only 50%. That they were, their starting five was on the field together.
That's
injuries at this position happen, and we saw, unfortunately, in the playoffs, the extent of that from the Packers' perspective when you're up against a front that's going to do that to a regular starting five in Philly.
It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's out here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida Street, just steps away from Lambeau Field. Here today until 6 o'clock, then the Green Bay Football Draft Show with Charlie Hughes and Tommy Ward takes you pick by pick all the way through the night. Almost a dozen guests, whether it be guys that cover the pro teams, guys that cover the college teams after they make those picks. Lots and lots of good stuff coming up tonight after 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, Andy Herman back out here, Pack-A-Day Radio from 8 to 9 o'clock. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby Show out here doing his show with Mitch Thunder-Nellis. Jordy Nelson out here tomorrow at 10 a.m. Doing the Mason Crosby Show tomorrow morning at 10. Looking forward to that. Weaknesses. Let's go Jacob Westendorfer first this time. Give me a weakness for Brian Gutekunst when drafting.
I'm not shocking and awing anybody when I say this, but I mean, with as many premium picks as they've had over the years, I think it was Wendell Ferreira had, they don't have a Pro Bowl all-pro player from all these picks they've had over the last few years. I think they've done well. You know, obviously Jaire Alexander was a great player. Might still be, just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Rashawn Gary, a good, not great player. Darnell Savage, didn't work out. Jordan Love, that has worked out, but he is maybe good, not great at the quarterback position. He's only played 25 games or whatever that number is at this point. So he's got some ways to go on that. But the last couple of years, you know, Quay Walker, we've talked about his potential ascension, but that's all it is right now. Devontae Wyatt, same thing. Lucas Van Ness, not much there. Jordan Morgan famously didn't play very much last year. For all these higher premium picks they've had, you'd hope to get a little bit more return on your investment at this point. That's been a tough part as this team is now, I will say this, like on the flip side of that coin, obviously, if I had told you, if we were sitting at this show 2 years ago when they traded Aaron Rodgers, and I told you they're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, they're going to win 20 games the next two seasons and make the playoffs both years and win a playoff game, you'd tell me I sign up right now.
That's right.
That's absolutely what I'm going to do. So that's good, objectively. However, I will also say, as Bill Huber, my boss, often likes to point out, this is Title Town. This is not Seventh City, you know, Seventh Seed City or whatever other acronym he likes to use on that. This team, and Gutekunst said it after the season's over, it's about time we started competing for championships. Well, one of the ways you do that is your draft picks. I know that he said that he doesn't need them to contribute right away. You'd like for that to happen. The team that won the Super Bowl last year, two of their seven best players maybe on defense last year were their first-round picks, or first and second-round picks. Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. DeJean has a pick six in the Super Bowl. Mitchell's Philly's best corner, was most of last year and will be upcoming this year as well. That impact is something, it's a surplus value because of the contracts that they get, and it's also something that it immediately makes your team better. If I told you they had Quinion Mitchell last year instead of Carrington Valentine, nothing against Carrington Valentine, but Mitchell is a better player.
Yeah.
You probably feel pretty good about the cornerback situation today right
for
now
sure.
If they've got him in tow. So the impact players, he's got some good ones. He's got some solid players. The great player, that blue chip talent, whatever that is. And maybe some of those guys grow into one. Maybe Van Ness realizes his potential this year, but they haven't done that yet. So that's the kind of stuff that they need to find. And I know that's hard to do when you're picking in the 20s the way they have, but Quinion Mitchell was picked 22nd last year. He's pretty dang good.
As I've stated, and I'm going to continue to state over and over again, I'm sick of drafting projects. I'm sick of the Bucs drafting projects. I'm sick of the Packers drafting projects. I want somebody that's done something in college and was that guy. Right now, I don't know if Mike Green is that guy out of Marshall, but I know he put up numbers and gives me some hope that he might be, right? As Araku, I don't know if he's going to be that guy, but I know he put up numbers and did his thing at Boston College with Jeff Hafley and without Jeff Hafley. I want numbers. With all due respect to Shamar Stewart, he did not give me numbers. We can come up with all kinds of excuses of why he didn't, but he didn't. And if it's, well, he's good in three, I guess. But as we're seeing with Giannis, eventually the window closes. Aaron Rodgers got here, and guess what happened? The window eventually closed. Before you know it, snap your fingers, and the window is going to be open with Jordan Love, and he'll be on his way to the Jets. You have to be ready to make sure you take advantage of it before that happens.
Yeah, I think this draft class in particular, for the Packers specifically, it's really different than the last two. Because as you transition from Rodgers to Love, as they brought in the youngest roster in the NFL over 2 years, you're trying to set your floor.
Right.
Brian Gutekunst has done that. The floor for this team should be, we are a playoff team. But now how are you going to address the ceiling? And I don't necessarily know that Brian Gutekunst is going to go down this route, but they don't have a ton of roster spots open because they brought in 24 draft picks the last 2 years. So if there's a year to deviate from what the Packers' norm has been and maybe make that trade for that player, whoever it might be, if there's someone that they say, this guy can come in and make a real impact for us, this would be the year to do it.
Because
you don't need another contributor. Even the positions we're talking about as big needs, defensive line, you have Wyatt, you have Clark, you have Rashawn Gary. Receiver, do they need to improve? Yeah, but you have Reed, you have Wicks, you have Dobbs. Like, these aren't positions void of talent.
Right.
Go, if that player is there, you are in a position because you don't need to spend any draft picks. If they only spent six this year with the roster they already have, they are perfectly fine. Like Brian Gutekunst said, he thinks they could go out and win this Sunday, and they probably could, but can they go out and win against the Lions? They go out and win against the Eagles? So go get that player.
Now, I'm going to say something that a fan would say, okay? But realistically, a person's ego will never admit this. A fan will say, dude, you can't draft first-round guys. You suck at it. Like, why don't you just trade your one next year, move up, and go get a proven, we know he will be a guy, and don't worry about not having a one. You're not good at it anyhow. Now, a fan will say that, but he himself will never admit that and look at his history and go, well, you know, I really haven't had any home run picks in the first round. You know, maybe it's not the weight of gold that I put behind that first round pick. But me, again, as a fan, if I love somebody that's 10 picks away, if I love Jahdae Barron and I know he's not getting to me, or if I love Matthew Golden and I know he's not getting to me, or Kelvin Banks, the offensive lineman from Texas, somehow he gets to 12 or 13. I love him. He ain't getting to me. Who cares if you give up that pick next year? A, it's not here. And B, if you get a potential, you know, Pro Bowler every year for a decade, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, too, part of the equation for Brian Gutekunst and all of this is, again, how they view the roster. Because even if they go out and get a Matthew Golden or, you know, a Shamar Stewart, whoever they value as right. someone who can come in and make an impact, the catalyst for this Packers team to take the next step, it's going to have to be internal improvement.
Yep.
Romeo Dobbs, Jaden Reed, Rashawn Gary, those guys all have to be better. And you hope by bringing in a Golden or a Stewart or whoever it might be, raises a level of urgency, because now there's one less roster spot. Now there's snaps that are not going to be available. There's, if you're a receiver, there's targets in the passing game.
So a replacement that's been drafted, like Aaron Rodgers talked about once upon a time.
So exactly. Ultimately, competition on the roster is going to have to be the catalyst. I know that's not the fun answer, but that's where this Packers team is. And if we look at this draft class and where they're picking, there aren't really a ton of blue chip prospects compared to past years. There's solid depth. There's guys who can come in and contribute. But like at the wide receiver position specifically, if you're expecting a Buka or Matthew Golden to come in and be your number one on day one, that's not going to happen.
Nope.
You hope that they raise competition, which raises a level of play.
Jacob Westendorf, do you think Brian Gutekunst is enough of a risk taker for what he does with the organization he does it with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've talked Za'Darius Smith, Preston. I know that was a while ago, but I mean, whenever they've had money, they've spent it. Aaron Banks, maybe you don't agree with the fact that they spent it on him, but they spent money on Banks. They spent money on Hobbs. They've spent money when they've had it. They didn't go like New Orleans Saints hog wild with the salary cap, but everybody right now is pointing and laughing at the Saints saying, LOL, you guys stink. Well, they did exactly what every fan is begging all their teams to do every single year. So I think Gutekunst, is he going to move? He's moved up in the draft also, not just for Jordan Love. He moved up for Jaire Alexander. He moved up for Darnell Savage. He's actually statistically more likely to move up, especially in the first round, than he is to move back. The only time he's moved back in the first round was for Alexander, who he famously then moved back up for. So I wouldn't even really call that a moving back thing, because he moved right back up 10 seconds right. later. So I think Gutekunst is a good general manager. It's very similar to his roster. He's not great. He's correct. Good. He's not great. You want your team, you know, if you want to compare him to Howie Roseman, you're probably going to be disappointed. But I'll also tell you, as much attention as I pay to the team out in Philly as well, they want Howie Roseman fired every time Jalen Hurts throws an incomplete pass, too. So
that's true.
I get that, but Roseman's great. There are other guys in this. Brett Veach from the Chiefs, he's great. You know, Gutekunst, he talked about it with trading a pick for a veteran player. He talked about trading for moving up to go get a guy. He's like, it's that 2-for-1 investment. And basically what he said at the end of it on both of those things is, you better be right. If he trades a first-round pick tonight for Trey Hendrickson, I don't think he's available. But if he were, Hendrickson better come in and be a stud for the next 3 or 4 years. If he trades up to go get Barron, Tet McMillan, whoever, McMillan better be a stud. You know, they traded up for Darnell Savage. Didn't work out. They traded up for Jaire Alexander. That did work out. They traded up for Jordan Love. That did work out. Then that pick, that to me, you ask, is he enough of a risk taker? That is the biggest risk in the draft in the last 5 years because of who the sitting quarterback was. And we've seen everything that's happened with him since then. And also, you have a Hall of Famer in tow. You pick a quarterback when you quote-unquote don't need one. That is the easiest way to open up for criticism, especially for somebody who is as popular and prevalent in the media as Aaron Rodgers is and was at that point in time, and the way every quarterback like that is. Picking a replacement for your Hall of Fame quarterback, that's as big of a risk as it could ever be.
He is Jacob Westendorf, our guy Paul Bredel here too from ESPN Lacrosse Packers beat writer. I want to ask our guy Paul Bredel all about risk-taking. And Brian Gutekunst, if he wishes he was more aggressive in drafts moving up than maybe he has been in years past. Remember, the Falcons, they lose to the Packers, they give up everything to go get Julio Jones. It eventually gets them a Super Bowl. They choke against the Patriots, but it got them to where they wanted to go, going for that big one-impact type player. You bring up Jordan Love, that's true. That was what, 2 picks they went up, 3 picks, something like that. It wasn't a ton necessarily. Maybe tonight's the night that he takes that home run swing. We'll ask Paul Bredel about that. I am kind of laughing because we're sitting here at Buffalo Wild Wings, steps away from Lambeau Field where the draft's happening tonight on Oneida Street. I hear cop sirens. I look over Jacob Westendorf's shoulder. There's 2 sheriff cars, followed by 2 Lamers buses, followed by 2 sheriff cars. So a police escort, sirens going. Then a little while later, those same sheriffs go take it off back the other way with sirens on. And if you hear them, I am guessing we will see more buses and more sheriffs with more police escorts coming from wherever they have the players or the NFL teams, right? Is that what's happening, do we think?
It's got to be.
It has to be, yeah.
Right? That's what it is?
Yeah.
Would you want a police escort at some point in your life? Would that be cool?
Maybe. I feel like I'd feel more important than I am.
I think it might be pretty cool.
Yeah, it depends on the event. My gut reaction is honestly no.
Really?
It draws more attention
to you, right?
Yeah. It depends what it is, of course, and why I'm there. But my gut reaction is just to go be with everyone else, right?
Correct. And absolutely. I don't know. I think it might be cool. I never had one, but every time I see one, I was like, I wonder what that would be like, being inside that bus or that limo or whatever it was. Never get to be that important, though. He's Jacob Westendorf. He is Bob Bridle. He's Sparky Fiverr. We broadcast live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's. Live from the Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay on Oneida Street.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome in. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, summed up by Wendy's as we broadcast live from the 1250 a.m. and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, out here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay on Oneida Street. Mere steps away from Lambeau Field as the draft will get going tonight at 7 o'clock. Don't forget tomorrow night, Potawatomi Sportsbook. Come on down, hang out with Mason Crosby and myself. We'll be doing some Q&A commercial breaks between 6 and 9:30 or so. Mason will be down there at 7. I'll kick things off at 6. So we'll have the playoff game on with the sound on. We'll have the draft going on. We'll have the Brewers game going on. All of that fun stuff going on tomorrow night. And then get a Q&A with Mason. We'll have some autograph cards we'll sign for trivia winners in commercial breaks of the game. So come hang out with us tomorrow night at Potawatomi Sportsbook. Should be a fun time. Plus, I'll be doing my afternoon show there tomorrow. And I'll be doing the Milwaukee basketball post-game show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook tomorrow night after the Bucks and Pacers in Game 3. Looking forward to that. Jacob Westendorf, Packer Report. Paul Bredel, ESPN Lacrosse, Packers beat writer. Before the break, we talked to Jacob, asked him whether or not he thought Goody was a good risk taker as GM. Paul Bredel, your turn.
Is he a good risk taker as
GM? Do you like him? Is he aggressive enough for you when it comes to the draft?
I think absolutely. I think, if we look at the examples that Jacob gave in terms of when he's moved up, and I think importantly as well, as Jacob noted, is he's actually traded up way more than he's been willing to trade down. I think this conversation changes as if more of those draft picks, if they reach that ceiling that Gutekunst believes that they have. Like,
right.
This conversation is completely different, like Jake said, if Wyatt is out there being a game wrecker, if Quay Walker is playing at the level that we saw for an extended period of time. So I think when the opportunities are there, I think he's 100% willing to go and make that type of move to bring in those players. So in terms of the willingness, the number of times that he's done it, I don't have any sort of question marks around it. Like I said before, I think how the roster's constructed this year, because there's so many players returning. Only 7% of the Packers' snaps from last season aren't back on the 2025 roster.
That's wild.
So there's not much roster turnover. So if there's a year to go and get a guy, I think this would be it. But having said that, I'll be the wet blanket here as well.
Why? Hey, there's Bud Lights in front of you. There's Crown Royal down there. I'll get you something to drink.
If we look at the strength of this draft class, and Daniel Jeremiah, one of the best in the business,
yes,
after Jacob Westendorf, of course.
Of course.
After.
He said earlier this offseason, picks 20 through 60, huge range. There's not really any difference between them.
Yep.
So if you're the Packers, wouldn't you want to pick twice in that range?
Yeah.
Or even trade back and pick three times versus going up and getting maybe a blue chip guy? So I think what Brian Gutekunst has done trade wise in the draft in recent years, again, I have no problem with it. I think roster wise the opportunity's there to go and get a guy. But
okay, how about this? Both of you, I give up 23, I'll give up my second round pick, I'll give up my one next year, and I go get Travis Hunter. Who says no?
The Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
You think they need more than that?
I think they.
I'll give up my one this year, my two this year, my one next year, and my three next year. Who says no?
I think Cleveland.
I'll give up my one this year, my two this year, my one next year, my three next year, and pick a wide receiver you want.
Brian Gutekunst would say no.
Brian says
absolutely
no, yeah, at that point. Yeah. I think he says no to the other ones,
yes,
too.
Yes, I agree.
But
man, Mike Ditka gave up a whole draft for Ricky Williams. This dude's better than Ricky Williams.
Famously got fired a year later.
Details. No need to bring that up. I'm just saying, you said if you want somebody, then it's okay to go get that guy.
Yes.
He himself, Brian Gutekunst, has said when talking about Ted Thompson and the Clay Matthews trade-up, right?
Yes.
They took Raji. Then they were arguing in the building or in the room about, do we really want to give up that much to go back into the first round? And Ted Thompson famously said, I don't care about the picks. It's about the person. I want the player. Get me the player.
Do you remember who Gutekunst picked when he told that story?
No.
Amari Rodgers.
Shut up. Why do you do that for? I'm going to buy you a drink, too. Stop. I'm trying to make a good point, and you ruin it. My point is, if you love somebody, then you should be willing to roll the dice and go get said person. It's kind of like being in a bar and there's a hot chick at the bar. You're single, you're cold, you're lonely. You have two options. One, go shoot your shot, get rejected. Or two, do nothing and stay cold and lonely. Now, how many guys are scared out of their minds and go, I'm just gonna be cold and lonely, I'm not gonna do nothing. And then there's a certain percentage of guys that go shoot their shot and know they're not gonna get accepted, and they don't, and they're still cold and lonely, but at least they tried. And then there's a small percentage of guys that the girl would be like, you're kind of funny. All right, sit down. And then you thought he had no chance. So why not? Why not try and go get the hot girl, Jacob Westendorf, and try and stun everybody?
It's like Brian said at his press conference, you better be right, because I just, you know, we told that story, right? You told Ted, when Ted Thompson did that, he got Clay Matthews. Matthews is the best defensive player Green Bay's had this side of Reggie White, right?
Yes.
Or, well, Charles Woodson, but that they've drafted this side of Reggie White, right? Okay. Brian Gutekunst did that, and he traded up for Amari Rodgers, who is arguably his worst draft pick in the history of his draft picks. Like, that's a tough one. So, like I said, you better be right. Now, if you're going up for Travis Hunter, I got a hard time thinking that you're going to be wrong. But there's checks and balances to that, too, right? There's a long ways to go with that. And Travis Hunter could decide tomorrow he doesn't love football anymore and not retire, but, you know, I'm not suggesting Travis Hunter has poor football character or anything like that, but there's just so many variables to weigh with these guys. It's kind of why Gutekunst talks about always wanting to have so many bites at the apple, is because, like, if I, you take two third-round picks. Last year, for example, they took Tyron Hopper and they took Marshawn Lloyd. Lloyd's injured, but when he was healthy, which was rare, looked like he could be a player.
Agreed.
Hopper, not so much, right? But he had two cracks at it, so one of those turns out it might be okay.
I'll say this as well, and I wrote about this earlier this offseason. I know we get focused on what's happening now, how does this roster get better, and Gutekunst is as well. But part of his job is to look through a three-year window from a salary cap perspective, from a draft pick perspective, not just where is the team today, where is it going into the future, and just something to be mindful of. We look ahead to next year. The Packers currently rank, I think, 26 in salary cap space. Those free agent deals for Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, Rashawn Gary, Jordan Love's contract. Cap hits are going to start to take a big jump. You need multiple rookies who can come in and make an impact so you have those inexpensive rookie deals on the books so you can then have a McKinney, hand out a Jordan Love deal, sign a Rashawn Gary. So I just think that perspective is important as well. Gutekunst is looking through, and he said this, a 2 to 3 year window in every decision that they make.
And a big, big, big contract extension for Zach.
Can't you restructure, guys, and make room? I thought the salary cap was fake. That's
the New
what
Orleans
everybody
Saints
has
said. That.
Social media says it's fake.
Can't you go buy everything on a credit card?
Social media says
I do. That's why they're maxed out.
Oh, jeez.
What? Is that wrong?
No, I don't think you're supposed to. My dad used to tell me if you don't have cash, you don't need it. So that might be the way that's supposed to work. But
I don't think I would have had gas to get here, though.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Yeah. He's taking Weston Dorr. Packer Lamar. ESPN Lacrosse. We're having fun out here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Oneida Street, just mere steps away from Lambeau Field. Paul Bradle's got to go work. Paul, thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Are you sticking or are you leaving?
I'm sticking for a little bit. I got to see when Bill gets here, so I'll be right.
You're waiting for Bill Huber?
Yes.
Okay. Coming up next, Joe Bartel, who does Fantasy Football Fridays with us during the season from RotoWire. He joins us next out here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fantasy broadcast live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Green Bay.